Earth Podcast with your host, Jake Weaver. Engineered by Cedric Swan.
Hey, everybody. We are back with another episode of Midnight on Earth. I'm your host, Jake Weaver, and we're here to bring you more knowledge, more lights, and more love. We have a group of unbelievable guests that are here today. Three people, including myself, four total for this incredible episode. Alex Marcoux is back. Now, if you remember, she was here talking about sacred autism. And at the time, she had a book, Destination New Earth, A Blueprint to 5D Consciousness. Absolutely incredible episode. There's a new book out now, Gods in the Game, Messages on the Awakening and Consciousness Shift. And we're going to talk about that with Shauna Kalinke, the channeler who channels Sirion and Mother Mary, Connie, who is the mother of the ethereal autist Daniel, and who knows who's going to come through the ether through this conversation. Super honored. But before we talk to them, I need you to do something for me. Follow me on Instagram at midnight_on_earth. That is the address. You can follow me there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you go to get your podcast, click that button that connects us so you know exactly what's going on. And word of mouth, tell a friend, bring the people that you know that would love this type of podcast to this place. We all need this incredible high frequency information. We're all evolving, including your friends, your neighbors. Let's bring them all together. MidnightOnEarth.com. Okay, so we're almost there. We're almost going to talk to these ladies. But I'm going to read Alex Marcoux's bio, and then we'll add on with Connie and Shauna. So here we go. Alex Marcoux is a seeker of truth and an international author of spiritual nonfiction and visionary fiction books. In her life, she has been welcomed into a world few people see: the sacred mysteries of magic of autism. When asked by three non-speaking autists to make their truth known, Destination New Earth, A Blueprint to 5D Consciousness, and also The Unsuspected Heroes, a visionary fiction novel, emerged. The Unsuspected Heroes is a 2021 International Book Awards finalist in visionary fiction and the 2021 American Book Fest Best Book Award finalist in visionary fiction. Marcoux was the Living Now Book Award Silver Medal winner in metaphysics for her spiritual self-help book, Life Signs, Tapping the Power of Synchronicity, Serendipity, and Miracles. Her fiction readers dubbed her the lesbian Dan Brown and number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Gardner called A Matter of Degrees a roller coaster ride of suspense. She is also a Lambda Literary Award finalist, a Golden Crown Literary Award finalist, and the RMFW Pen Award recipient. And she's here with us with, again, Shauna and Connie. Hello again, ladies. We're back.
Well, hello.
Wow, you got the big intro.
Well, yeah, and that's not the updated one.
That is not the updated one. There is more because we're talking about Gods in the Game. What has changed since then? Tell us what's happened, Alex.
Well, Gods in the Game. Gods in the Game is new. And I cut my bio down considerably after you read it last time because it sounded so ego-ish.
No, it's fine. No, look, people need to know that you did work. It's okay to be in resonance with your service as long as you don't have an ego attachment to it. But it's good to know what kind of work people are doing so you know what kind of perspective they have.
Well, thank you, Jake. And thank you for the invitation. We're really excited to be here. Oh,
I'm just blown away because I read Gods in the Game, and it's an incredible book because it adds on to the Destination New Earth book, which in itself was an amazing book, kind of detailing what the New Earth is, how these autistic people are anchoring this New Earth energy and so much more. But this really just expands on this. So tell me the origin of this book. Why did you ladies start to focus on this project?
Well, I will say, after Destination New Earth was released, I started working on another book. And Shauna was off on the Pacific Northwest looking for a home. And Connie was very busy after Destination New Earth got released because, the autistics actually, may I say it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please do so. It's part of the spiritual work.
Okay. Yeah, the autistics, they got attacked because of the book.
Right.
And, yeah. So Connie was really busy taking care of Daniel. And Shauna was busy finding her place to live. So I started a book on awakening. And I was visiting with the Destination New Earth team that fall. And Daniel had shared some writing with me through Connie. And it was on God. And it was quite fascinating. And I asked if I could include it in the new book.
That is absolutely amazing. And we're going to talk about that, but I want to back you up a little bit and clarify for people what you mean by attacked. Now, you said Daniel was attacked and you did detail this in the book, but there were forces, dark ethereal forces, the ones that these ethereal autists and the autist collective are working against. They stepped up their attacks in that dimension, in that realm.
That is correct. Connie, did you want to speak to that a little? Are you?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Yes, it was very challenging. But Daniel, I do want to say that before the book was even published, Daniel did warn me that it was going to happen. And to be prepared, because we did question, well, should the book be released? And he said, yes, this is part of the process here, because they can't have what they want, because what they want is to keep humanity from evolving, asleep, if you will.
Right.
And so when the light starts to shine, the darkness automatically comes. That's just part of the process. And how these autists were, I'm not saying the entire collective was attacked. I would say the ones that were doing the work with the shades, they all have different roles. They don't do the same. They don't have the same role. Okay. You may have some autists that they work on the pollution of the planet, and that may mean cleaning the water up. You know, you have some that work on the grids. You know, there are some that work with, the cabal, or what some people may call the Illuminati, things like that, what people consider conspiracy theory. They work in that arena because, to clean that up. So they do get attacked by Daniel described it to me. He was like red beams that like kind of send shocks to them. Signals, just various types of attacks. And what happens during these attacks is it causes pain. It causes behavior issues. And of course, the caretakers, parents, we get impacted because we're dealing with the screaming or the head banging or the however they exhibit the behavior, we're dealing with that. And I think that's part of the process too. The controllers or the shades, they want to impact us, the whole family. Because whenever you are at a frequency of fear or angst, you're not co-creating.
Right.
And that's what their goal is. They want you downtrodden. Oh, whoa, that is me. Oh, forget this. Oh, forget, and I'm not going to give them the pleasure.
No, no. And I just want to help people understand this, that ethereal autists, from your perspective, most autistic people are a certain frequency of being that cannot fully embody in the physical. And because of that, they're kind of working within multiple dimensions at the same time. We all are, but they're more conscious of it. And mostly they're in that higher frequency dimension where unfortunately they're being attacked by these entities or working against those energies. I want to help people understand that because for some people, this is new information.
Oh yeah. Yes. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot. And Daniel has said that it's not happening as much right now, although I don't know. I'm feeling some energies, you know, some pushback. And so what I do for that is I just make sure that I'm protecting myself and mm-hmm. Sending out healing and love and all that juicy joy that Daniel has taught me to send out, mm-hmm. you know, because that's most important.
So you do say in the book, though, that autistic people are a species unto themselves. Tell me about that more. Truly, they are a unique frequency of being, not just a variation of the energetic human that we see, but in fact, their own species. Please tell me about that more.
Me?
Or anyone.
Okay. Well, essentially, you know, like you talk about humans, they're spiritual beings having that physical experience, and the autists are spiritual beings having these multidimensional experiences in other realms. As you've mentioned, you mentioned it. You had a pretty good grasp of it when you mentioned it, Jake.
Yes.
Yes.
Operating in multiple dimensions at once and then working within those dimensions. But in the physical realm, the 3D realm, some people perceive them as disabled. Now, there are native cultures around the world, African cultures that embrace people like this and they exalt them and understand their role. Why did we classify these people as medically unstable in Western culture?
Because we didn't understand them. You know, and when humanity doesn't understand something, they need to put it in a box and label it. And that's what they've done with the autistics. They put them in the box because they're different. They are different. They're not less than, though. It's not a disability. True, they do have difficulties navigating this third dimension because they're so lightly tethered in their bodies, their capacity is way out there. They are, I think it was Lyrica. I believe she was, what was she saying? 30% of her was anchored, if I remember that correctly. And she is more embodied than Daniel. Daniel is more out there.
Interesting. So, yeah. Just to clarify for people, now, if this is a little confusing for some people, perhaps go back to that original episode, episode 96, and listen to what Alex and I talked about as a primer. But just to put it in an encapsulation, Shauna channels Sirion, which is a representation of the 16th dimensional collective. It's not just one being. Sirion is a collective that operates in that dimension. And also Mother Mary, who operates in the 12th dimension. Connie works with Daniel, who's an ethereal autist. And he's able to, again, go into these higher places, get this information really based on question and answers a lot of the time. And Connie is able to guide her son, not in any way that's kind of, you know, guiding the hand past just where it's going on a typewriter, to record the answers. But you have a checks and balances system set up where if one person generates information, whether it's Sirion or Daniel, you run it by each other's sources to really get kind of this collaborative view of each answer that comes out. Is that correct? Did I say all that right?
You did. You're doing really good. We need to take you on our interviews. You're doing awesome, Jake. You have a really good grasp of it. Yeah, Daniel, particularly in this book, Gods in the Game, he was more of a monitor. In Destination New Earth, he would grade every single question and answer. This happened particularly after we had a situation where we had a trickster come into one of the channeling and hijack the channeling. And when Daniel instructed us not to transcribe the channeling and don't use it. So we didn't do it. So on this new book, he was a monitor. He would let us know if anything was, of course, off, but he didn't do every single question. He, Connie, you were very much involved in that process. So he was kind of more of a monitor in this, the new book, always in our intentions, all of our intentions has always been to get to that truth.
So he just added or subtracted to what was there or verified or just even took it in a different direction based on that foundation sometimes.
Right, right. So like Connie has mentioned that if, when we would get information where a channeling was graded a 7, that would mean that it would be 70% accurate. And so we would want to go in and clarify that. And raise the grade, right, the accuracy of the information. Now you might think, well, 70% is not very high, but when you think about it, some questions don't have answers. We do not have the ability to understand the answers, or we have to experience it rather than actually have it answered for us. But like I mentioned, we took, great care to really get at the heart of the information and distill it down so that it is accurate as we could get it.
Yes, yes. And I did love that aspect of it. It was just a combo of different methods to really interpret the info as accurately as possible, which is really amazing because in the book, you tackle several subjects, but really a big part of it is the new earth consciousness. You talked about it in your last book. You talked about it in this book, and you feel like autistics knowingly or unknowingly are working on the planetary shift in consciousness, and it's part of their divine blueprint, right? So like we're moving into mm-hmm. this new earth, they're anchoring that energy and also amplifying it, you could say. And they signed on for that as light beings. That's part of their divine blueprint, but there's more. Can you add to that?
Well, they serve a lot of different roles. And, there is a group that is working on, the dissolution, the dissolving of the veil of consciousness. There's, they hold the infrastructure of the new earth. Connie, what are some of the other areas that the autists help with? There's a group that's working on water, cleaning the water, and pollution, you mentioned.
Yes. What else? Oh, my goodness.
There's the Autist Collective, of which Connie is the messenger for. She communicates with the collective.
Yes, there are different roles. And Daniel actually wanted me to read something in regards to what the autistics are doing. So may I?
Just please, say, yeah, yes, please.
That would be great.
Go here. Okay. So he says, we are all born awake, the autist. All humans are born awake and tapped into themselves at the God level. Neurotypical people are meant to forget, and autistics are meant to remember and guide humanity forward to the new earth. Neurotypical people usually look for spirit guides. the Autist Collective are walking forward in the same way as a spirit guide. Those humans who are ready and asking for awakening will receive our teachings. They will receive our help. It will come in a form that is right for them. There are autistics whose sole focus is to awaken individuals, and there are also autistics that sole focus is to awaken collectives. And we do things that don't make the slightest bit of sense to neurotypical folks. But please know that it makes sense to us. Our awakened souls and human bodies are going to see, hear, and feel everything in ways that you cannot even possibly imagine. Trust us, trust our experiences, and most importantly, trust your own. The awakening needs to be bathed in trust.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Did he write that today?
A few days ago.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, very cool.
Super honored to have that information on the show. It's interesting that we are in this ascension time and these people are here. Now, you talked about in your book how by 2023, the autism rate with children was 1 in 36. So what does that mean? If we know that there are a specific frequency of being that's manifesting in this way, and the frequency of them, the amount of them, that's manifesting is increasing. What does that mean for Earth? Is that just one aspect of the new Earth consciousness? Why are so many autistics coming in right now?
Because we need what they're doing. Without them doing this work, humanity would be much further along in its evolution. What did Daniel say about that, Connie? He said something about if they weren't involved, we would be like in the dark ages if they weren't doing the work.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. But it's part of our story, though, too. It's almost natural in a way. Now, some people feel like things like injections and other medicines can cause autism and other environmental situations. But regardless of that, they're still coming in to hold this information, and they've always been here. Mm-hmm. So how does that work if someone is medically damaged and that causes autism? Is it the medical damage that triggers the autism? I know you talk about that in your book, and then it triggers that higher frequency awakening. What do you think about that?
Well, as the way I understand the information is that if an individual comes in and it's in their divine blueprint to be autistic, that they're going to be autistic whether they have a childhood inoculation or not. But the childhood inoculation does trigger the autism. Unfortunately, there are some children that can't work with the inoculation. And those children, they actually have brain damage. They get hurt. How the symptoms manifest are very similar to the autistics. So they get labeled as autistic, though they are not the autists that we are speaking of. So, you know, because I looked at it, and one of the things I was wondering about was that the reason for the increase? You know, what was these inoculations really causing the increase? And like I said, the answer is it's not really causing the increase. It's not as significant. It is causing some children to be hurt. It is triggering autism in those with the divine blueprint to be an autist. But if they weren't inoculated, something else would trigger it.
So it's always in their divine blueprint. And can you just elaborate a little bit and maybe pass the buck? Oh, Connie, it looks like you want to add to that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. I do want to add to the inoculation and, you know, autism. So with Daniel, it was kind of, and it is mentioned in the book, it was kind of challenging for me because I saw it with my own eyes. After he was inoculated, he changed.
Right.
It was an it was an obvious change to his demeanor. Yeah. So, but what Daniel made, he made it clear to me. He said, Mom, he said, I was going to be autistic anyway, because that's how it's supposed to be for me to do my work. One of his buddies is non-speaking autistic as well. And she mentioned in her book that she purposely, when she was in her mom's womb, she made herself autistic. At a certain month in gestation, she triggered her own autism because she knew that that's what she had to be autistic to do her work here. Okay. So that, I just wanted to put that out there. So,
so it's part of their path. It's regardless of how it would have shown up. It still was the choice that was already made because that's exactly what that specific frequency of being needed in order to exist in the third dimension and do that type of work. Right.
Yes. And the question is, well, why did they, why couldn't they just be fully embodied and do the work?
Right.
It's like, you can't access all that information. Daniel is constantly traveling. I mean, he is in more than one place at one time, you know, and I learned that in 2013, but that's another story. Maybe we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So you have to remember that the autists tether lightly to the physical form so that they can travel. And their choice of body, so to speak, is irrelevant. But if you downloaded all of the energy of an autist into a physical form and they were grounded, they would fry the body. They would literally fry the body. Mm-hmm. So they can't tether in 100%. Some cannot even tether in 25% because they'll fry. The work they're doing is energetically on a scale that most of us are just beginning to experience with the changes in frequencies and vibrations that are coming in now over the last year. And we have headaches and we're achy and slow or groggy or nauseous or whatever. Imagine having that amplified 100%. Your body couldn't take it. So there's a reason they're lightly tethered. It's so they can go in and out of dimensions, time and space, and be in multiple, what would I say, dimensions simultaneously.
And they're anchoring that energy, and without that energy being here, it wouldn't influence the greater sphere of human consciousness and creation to help with our ascension. It's kind of like a crystal that's vibrating a certain way, and you get enough of these crystals together. Look, I have these beautiful crystals here. You get enough of these crystals together and it changes the resonant frequency, or at the very least influences it heavily. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. So they're being the bridge for us. Many of them are being the bridge of energy. So as they bring it in, they're able to absorb massive amounts of energy, and they can trickle it or slowly release it in the consciousness. And that the earth is already vibrating there. It's just we can't or have it yet vibrated there. So the autists come in, they can hold a lot of the energy. They trickle it in, and we start to experience it as well.
Isn't that amazing? But it's really just one layer of the experience, because the energy itself, the new earth energy, is Lemurian energy, you're saying. And please tell me about that, because it's connected to Lemuria. It's connected to Atlantis. There's so much. This is actually covered in the book. There's so much, but just give us a little bit about that.
Did you want to do that, Shauna?
Sure.
Okay.
So think of the Lemurian energy as coming in and being vaporous. I mean, our minds can sort of get around it. Like when you see on a really hot day and it's rained and there's that vapor coming off of the asphalt. It's real wispy.
Yes.
So the Lemurian energy is such that it was not tethered to any form. And as it over eons and eons of time, the Lemurian energy got denser and denser and denser until it was in physical form. Well, in that aspect, you have your autists that are very similar. They've now learned to attach to physical form, like the Lemurians. The Lemurians could travel back and forth. They could be in physicality, but they could also, if you will, transmute themselves into more of a etheric, into their etheric body. And so they did that again for eons and eons until they truly manifested into physical form. At that point, some chose to forget and just be in physical form so they could experience. Others chose to remain where they could go into physical form and into their etheric form. Our goal as humans is to remember that we can move into our etheric form as well as inhabit our physical form. Well, our autists are doing that, but our society wasn't set up for it yet. So they chose very wisely their parents so that they could awaken and bring this energy in to help humanity, and they would need a handler or a caretaker. And so that's what's happening now, is more autists are coming in, and I mean, they're working the Christic grids, they're working on the frequencies, the vibrations, they're working on communications, they're bringing in all of this energy and insight and knowledge to help humanity grasp it and bring it into our consciousness. And the parents usually are able to understand it and the toll it takes on the physical form of the autists, where those of us without those individuals in our lives just assume, oh, they can go out, absorb it, and here we are. It's a heavy load to carry, and they're doing it.
I bet. What an incredible role it is to take on that caretaking aspect of these beings. But it stretches back to Lemuria. There were even autistic beings because they're just a frequency of light being. They're not the name autism, like you said in the book, 1908, mm-hmm. it was created for schizophrenics that were more despondent, that were like more removed from society. They gave them a different name. That's where it all started. But these beings have been around forever, for really as long as we can remember, because their role is so crucial in every species development. And we're not there. We're not at pure source yet, as the Lemurians were. So this is all part of that growth, right? It's very dense information. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I started laughing. I was thinking about as you were talking, is remember how unusual Spock was?
Yes.
In that he was, his emotions were less than, but it wasn't that he couldn't understand. It was that he so understood and the emotions rolled through him. He didn't inhabit the emotion. He inhabited his beingness. And that's, you know, that's what we're all learning to do, is to become our self, our beingness, not our emotions. We can experience them, but we are not them.
Yes.
And autists are a good example.
Well, ultimately, we're light beings. We're living light in a physical vehicle. And when we all realize that and we have that awakening, because the autists are already living mostly in that realm. And when we have that awakening that we're living light, wow. I mean, we unlock everything. We unlock the United Earth. We unlock everything that we've ever dreamed of when we get to that point. And it's happening. You can see the love increase. In the book, you talk about how in the 1970s, it was really the New Age movement that showed people that you can have spirituality without religion. And now look where we are at in 2024, almost 2025. Like, whoa, we've made quantum leaps in development and understanding. So it does give you hope that the work that these beings are doing is paying off. It's there's an effect to all of this work. There are results.
You know, there is. And excuse me, Alex, I was going to.
No, no, go ahead. You're doing. Okay.
There is absolutely a lot of work they're doing, but it does not lift it off of our shoulders because we too are equally accountable to step in and to do our work, because we're not going to be given anything by the Atis. We're not going to be saved by any otherworldly beings. We're not going to have something just poof and away we go. It is that we must, in our very own nature, do our own inner work. And then again, it's our own inner work. It's nobody else's. As we always say, don't step outside of your hula hoop. But everything inside your hula hoop, that's yours to own, to mediate, to honor, to love, and to watch and grow. So we must too now, and I think that's what really God's in the Game is about, is we must be accountable and responsible for stepping into our own divine blueprint and owning it and recognizing that we're the co-creator and creator of our own lives.
Yes! Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. When we step into that power, just to add to what you're saying, when we step into that power as humans, we realize that we can create any world that we want, right? So why not create the best possible experience? Why aren't we creating heaven on earth? We can. So when we realize that, we will. That's really all it takes, is realizing that we have that power collectively. And again, it's rooted in the fact that we're all light beings and that connection to source, but it is really that way. We can make this world any way that we would want. It's mind-blowing. So some of the messages that you received from Daniel were new to this book, and that's kind of part of why this book is being published, in addition to Sirian's messages. But one of the messages that Daniel had was that he believes that we are all hybrids. Now, you say in the book that most Atis are star seeds and new children, the 144,000 light workers, things like that. But Daniel believes that humanity itself, that we're all hybrids. Can you tell me about that more?
Well, I think it just goes to the fact that humanity, we are alien. I mean, if you go back to the beginning, we are alien, as well as there is this galactic, there was galactic DNA back in Lemuria that manipulated the DNA, the genome. Is it the genome? But yes, it goes back to the fact that we are alien. We're not from this world.
Right. It does seem that way. And the Atis, the ethereal Atis, are connecting with these beings because these more right. advanced galactics are actually in that light dimension. They're able to send information, including their entire being, to that place, in that place, and through that place. That's how this interface is happening. But it is pretty mind-blowing to think that, hey, we're not native to here. We're actually the combination of probably several different species' DNA. But
we are.
The light inside of us is universal. There's something there that's outside of the human experience. And really, you could say it's an eighth state of consciousness, because you do talk about the seven states of consciousness in your book. But really, it seems like there could be an eighth state, which is universal consciousness. When you realize and you resonate with the light beings that are out in the universe, all the living beings and the light within yourself, when you connect with all of that light being family, that in itself is another state of awareness.
That I love that.
Because there's a lot of life out there. And no matter what, we can find some of the strangest, at least strange to us, the strangest creations in the universe of the divine. But the light unites us. The light unites every living being. So we're all one just big universal family, which I really love. That's a consciousness level in itself.
I love that, Jake.
Thank you. And tell me more about some of the messages that Daniel has. Now, he mentioned in the book that he feels it's time for a quote unquote new God, but really just like a fresh frequency, a shift in consciousness. Can you tell me about that more?
Well, actually, that was what sparked this whole book. He was talking about, and Connie, if you want to chime in, you're very welcome if he has new information. but yes, he is saying, he and Syrian say very similar things. He is saying it's time for the new God to come in. When you get right down to it, I believe that new God is us. That's us. You know, it's time for the new God to come in. We're the new gods. Now, there are other twists to that. And I don't know, Shauna, did you want to add any of that? Or?
Yeah, but I'd love to hear from Connie first, and then I'll jump in, because you know me. I can get all excited.
Okay.
Well, as far as what Daniel has to add on God, the only thing I want to say is he says that we would not be able to scratch the surface of what God is in this reality that mm-hmm. we're in now. We're gonna have to evolve further.
Right.
To be able to know who God is, because most of us, although we say, oh, I'm ready to know God, we're really not. So once you're really ready to know who God is, you will know who God is. Yeah. Other than that, God will be elusive to everyone. So I thought it was interesting that he wanted to talk about God in this book, because we've never mentioned God before, other than to say that if you wanted to put a gender on God, God would be more feminine than male. And I was like, oh, so God's a woman. And Daniel said, no, Mom, that's not what I said. I said, if you're going to put a gender, if you're going to just want, you just have to. God's more feminine energy than male, but God is. God is not a gender. So I was like, okay, got it. I will say that he did write this. He told me recently to share it because I was questioning, because it seemed to be over the heads of many in regards to the new earth. Okay. And I will say that in digesting what he wrote, it kind of reminded me of a passage in the Bible. And I don't know the exact passage, but it's something like in my father's home has many mansions.
Yes.
Are y'all familiar with that?
Yes. In my father's house, there's many mansions. Yes.
Okay. So what he typed is, you are the ruler of your own earth. Yes. The new earth involves awakening souls, awakened consciousness, a new timeline, a higher dimension. But it also comes with the realization that the earth is yours. Each person has their own earth. They become rulers of their own earth. The new earth is yours, which makes it ours. The earth you inhabit is a completely different earth than your neighbor inhabits. The new earth is the realization. It is another piece of the awakening. Talk about being gods in the game. So how I also interpret that as the new earth is our creation, our individual creation, but it's also our co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just blowing me away. And I'd like to just clarify again for the listeners that when we talk about the messages coming from Daniel, he's nonverbal. Is that correct, Connie? Right. And then this is what's coming out of him through a typewriter, through his mom's guidance and him telling her intuitively with movements where to go. This is like super incredible information. I just want people to grasp the weight of it, because there are a lot of people out there with messages, and this is like coming directly from source, you could say.
Yeah, thank you, Jake, for saying that. One thing that I think is interesting that our book offers that is hard to find in other books is that we are talking to, you know, we're talking to Mother Mary from the 12th dimension. We're talking to Syrian, a collective from the 16th dimension, and Daniel, who has the ability to access all dimensions. So we're getting, you know, we have this check system where we're comparing right. what they're saying. and they don't always use the same language, which makes my job interesting at times. But, you know, like I said, I think it's just I look at it and I keep reading. I've read Destination New Earth, I think, 6 times since it's been published. I wrote it. I get something from it every time. Gods in the Game, I've read 2x since it's come out. I get something from it every time. And I apologize, Shauna. I did not mean to jump in before you.
No, no, it's fine. Yeah. It's a stream of consciousness. We're hanging out.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful, the concept of God is such an incredible conversation. It is not a light conversation, but it is an incredible conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think Connie hit it on the head, and Alex, is that, yes, it's a frequency, it's a vibration. It's both masculine and feminine, and it's neither. It's pure possibility and potentiality. It's the zero point. It's everything and nothing. It is. We know because we have the spark of life within us. The question is whether or not we choose to spark the light. And that would be us connecting with our higher self, our divine blueprint, and our humanness, and bringing those to the plate or to the game together.
Right.
Because it's through our individual as fractals, we as human beings, the plants, the animals, the birds, the water has huge consciousness and awareness. Our entire planet is conscious and aware. We are co-creators as human beings, and we have the spark of life and potentially light. The light is for us to step into increase into a flame so that our entire universe, not to say our Earth, and humanity and all on it, in it and around it, could vibrationally move into a 5D experience. That's what's different. That's why when we talk about the light, it's, yes, we must embrace that. Oh, we don't have to do anything, quite honestly. We just have to be and be ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we've been so entrained from early childhood to not be ourselves.
Yes, and this is the 5D consciousness that you're talking about. But interestingly, you talk about in your book that you feel not everyone will make it to the new Earth, and all by choice, some will stay in different densities. But I wanted you to tell me about that, because what you just talked about is beautiful, and it sounds like everyone would be on board with that energetically as the shift of the Earth, Gaia itself is evolving as we all evolve. You would feel like you would intuitively see, it would seem like everybody would be on board, but you're saying it's not the case. Can you tell me about that?
Shauna, you're nodding your head. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, go ahead and then I'll step in afterwards.
Okay. Not everybody will make it. Not everybody, it's a choice. And, you know, the 3D, which is where this is where we're at now, 3D has a lot more experiences than the 5D. And, you know, a lot more lessons and growth opportunities spiritually in the 3D. Some will not evolve. Some will not choose to do it. They haven't chosen. There is also a portion of humanity that does not have the spark of light. Okay. And that portion of humanity would not be among those who they're not on the same evolutionary path as someone with that spark of life. Not light. I'm sorry, spark of life.
Sure.
Yeah.
But will, are we talking about different timelines? I mean, will there be a chance for redemption for those beings? Will they evolve eventually in this other place? Like, tell me about that.
Are you talking about those that do not have the spark of life?
Correct.
Yes, they're on a different evolutionary path. And, you know, they're not on the path for the 5D in this timeline. When I say they don't have the divine spark of life, they don't have an aspect of a soul within. Okay, humans have that aspect of that soul, the divine spark, and this portion of the population does not. And, you know, over the years, you might have heard people talk about, like Dolores Cannon called them backfill people, right?
Yes.
I think it was backfill, background people.
But they do have the divinity within them, like the God spark. They may not have a purpose. Maybe their soul isn't ignited, but the matter, the energy, the life, I mean, that is source, right?
That is source. That is absolutely source. But they do not have that, what humans have, which is a divine spark of life that would essentially be involved in that integration of that higher self and your physicality, which is what we're talking about, to evolve, to level up from 3D to 5D. But these are humans, and they're here, and they, you know, they're, wow. You know, they're people. I mean, they have feelings, emotions, they have lives, some are brilliant. They're all over, they're extremes, right? They're like everyone.
But do you feel like their story at some point leads to redemption? Like perhaps it would take longer, perhaps it's a different timeline, but ultimately everything returns to source.
Ultimately everything does. They just are in a different evolutionary path, and they will. Ultimately they will.
I pray for those people. I really do, because I love them. I love them just as much as I love any other life being. I just maybe wouldn't make the choices that they make, and maybe they deserve to be punished for those choices. But I do feel bad for them, because the light, the love, it's a very easy path. If you choose love, magic happens. It's very rewarding. That's not why you do it, but the reward is pretty obvious. It's a very enriching feeling. And that's also, again, what these ethereal autists are here to do, to bring that love energy in this time. And tell me how it connects with the Mother Earth spirit, Gaia itself, because that is also a component to this.
Yeah. So the frequency that is coming in, and it's always been here, is the divine feminine. And Gaia is, obviously, we would recognize her as female, or the womb, so to speak, of humanity, the cradle of civilization. It's not that the divine feminine energy is here to overpower the masculine. It is to bring in the divine masculine, such that we become the homoluminous, meaning our light beings, and that we are, each individual has balanced both the masculine and the feminine within themselves, and are found the twin flame within themselves, not outside, but within. And that this balanced energy is what is moving us forward, because we're whole and complete unto ourselves. There's nothing lacking. Divine feminine, or the Gaia, is the concept, is that you have God, goddess. So you have God and Sophia. Simultaneously, for creation, you must have both. And over humanity's history, we have pushed away from the feminine, the intuition, the love, the compassion, the collaboration, ease, grace, joy. We've gone into more of the out of balance masculine energies, and we can't do that anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now it's time for us to come together, men and women, as equal partners, balanced within our own selves, the masculine and feminine energies, and being able to co-create together this brand new world. And again, it's an inward journey. The 5D starts from within first. It is not an external, it is an internal journey and change of perception. And that alone will get us moving where we can move it from inside into physical matter as a co-creator outside.
Right. And because, like you said in the book, actually in relation to Sirian's messages, is that 5D is an evolutionary path. But before we talk about Sirian, because I do want to get into Sirian, Daniel did describe what he felt the new earth was going to be like. At one point in the book, you ask him, what is this new earth going to be like? Now, I don't want you to tell us everything because I want people to get the book because it's absolutely mind-blowing. But can you tell us some of the things that Daniel said in relation to how the new earth will be, what it's going to be like during that time?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. And Sean and I have talked about this because I think when we talk about what the new earth is going to be, we're limiting other people's perception of what they could create. So I think for that reason, they're careful what they tell us about what the new earth is going to be, because we're creators. We get to choose what our world's going to be.
Right.
And for me to say, oh my God, my new earth, I'm going to be living in unconditional love and I'm going to be doing what I want to do, which is being on this mountain. And I want, you know, to be able to interdimensional travel and have lunch with Daniel, because I've never done that. You know, for me to describe what I would like, I am limiting those people, other people's perception of what they can do. I don't want them to take my new earth. I want them to create their new earth. But yeah, I think it was Sirian who actually said things. Oh yeah, well, you know, when we talked about what wormholes and portals and galactic beings, that was, you know, that was what they were saying, that it's that and more. There's so much more.
Did Daniel, though, talk about it at all? I thought that was Daniel saying that was Sirian. You know, there's a lot of information.
There is a lot of information.
But did Daniel talk about it at all? Does he have any insight into what he feels like the new earth could be?
Well, it was what I read earlier about Everyone having their new earth. And he did say that it consists of higher vibrational humans, and these higher vibrational humans essentially create their own earth. So it will be designed for that person. It's an individual experience, but then it's a unified experience at the same time.
Right.
But ultimately,
just because I have my own earth does not mean I can't chill out with Alex.
There you go.
But everything resting in its own kind of frequency bandwidth, yet intersecting at the same time, which is kind of quantum in nature, if you think about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I've heard several guests talk about this. It feels like whether the information is coming from ethereal autists or other channels, it just seems like this information is just raining down on Earth right now as we move into this new Earth. It's pretty astounding.
It is.
Well, it's phenomenal. I mean, who would have thunk this in, you know, the 60s and even early 70s, that we would be having this delightful discussion and being able to talk about all that we are with the thought that there would be an audience that would even be interested in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so exciting.
I know. It does make you feel really, really good. I mean, you think about Sirian, he's an aspect of this 16th dimensional collective. If we were talking about this in the 60s again, it would be very, very fringe. Now we have many, many people all over the world embracing this information, this awakening, because that is part of Sirian's message is that we all need to awaken, but we need to awaken individually, personal development, but it ripples out into the collective. That's really what it's about. These awakening symptoms, these ascension symptoms, are all just an indicator of where we need to go right now as earthlings, as humans.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't really know about that. Can we just touch on that a little bit? A lot of people talk about ascension symptoms and other related symptoms, like even we were talking about earlier in this episode, nausea, tightness, dizziness. People don't realize that these are physical reactions to energetic situations. Can you guys elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure. It's, you know, yeah, you mentioned it's energy. It's light coming to the planet. And our bodies aren't used to that amount of light. And so as it comes in, our body, some of our bodies are going to be like, hey, this is going to cause nausea. This is going to cause vertigo. This could cause joint pain. It can cause so many things. And in certainly, we do not want to give medical advice. We don't give medical advice. If anyone is having a challenge, a potential health challenge, they owe it to themselves to check it out and make sure. If they need to see a doctor, that's fine. Do so. The only thing I always say is, hey, if you keep going to the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong, consider the possibility that it might be potentially this light coming to the planet and it's just causing you some type of a symptom. And that's why they say ascension symptom, but it's not ascension. It's just the way we are experiencing this energy coming in.
Yeah, it's like an energy matter reorganization as we get this upgrade, you could say.
Yes, absolutely.
And this awakening, though, it is a cycle for humanity. And some people say we've gone through several cycles of creation and destruction. But are we past that now? Are cycles transmutable? Can we get enough information to bypass cycles, to rise above that and just continue our growth forward?
Hmm. Shauna's nodding her head.
Yes, we can. So everything is a possibility and a probability.
Yes.
And the question is, are we mature enough to see that? Can we step beyond power, control, greed, the few that govern the many? Are we as individuals willing to step up and take responsibility for our own lives and what we create and what we create? And are we also willing right now to challenge the chaos and systems that no longer work for us? If we're willing to do that, I mean, think about it. If we are the light beings, which we are, and we are physical, we live forever as light beings. So why not play all these juicy parts? So in that, there are going to be some that are choosing to play juicy part as someone who is might seen as on the dark side or the villain. Because last time I played the villain, and I'll say Alex got to play the heroine, and Connie got to be the mediator, and she's putting Connie, go Connie.
Oh, yeah, I've played the dark one before in a past life. Yeah. I would say, and thank you, Shauna, for that. I would say one of the things Daniel said in the book is God needs us like we need God. Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to add to what Shauna said by saying also acknowledge the autistic collective.
Yes.
So because when we acknowledge them, mm-hmm. they become more powerful with the work they're doing on the planet. And yes, Daniel has told me, especially in 2022, that some autistics were ready to give up because it got that bad.
Mm.
Spiritual war got that. They were like, ready to give up. Some were ready to give up because they didn't have their parent support. Not all the parents are supporting. Most parents aren't even aware of what their child or they, whoever they're caretaking, because they're not all children, because Daniel's not a child. He's almost 30. Mm-hmm. They're not aware. I will tell you that when I became aware that there was more to Daniel than just the autism, there was two solid weeks where he appeared to be neurotypical. We have never seen him that peaceful before in our lives. And that was because we saw him. There is a power to that. It's like, I always tell people, it's like if you're playing a game, you know, let's say you're a baseball player and you hear people cheering for you, you're going to play better, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone's aware of you, and they don't have to know exactly what you're doing for the planet, but just an awareness that, wow, there's something more to you than autism, that's enough to help them become more powerful and feel more supported in doing the work, you know? And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah. They need that energy. When we send them love, it amplifies what they're doing. That acknowledgement, everything's connected. Everything can be really boiled back to one source. And you talk about big C consciousness, little C consciousness. Really, it's all just one thing. It's all source. So therefore, it's all intimately connected. When we send love to the autists, that just helps them. It's fuel for them. And also, when we send love to the controllers, the people that are blocking people evolving, they don't even know what to do with that, like you said in your book, but it's necessary. And who are these people? Yes. Who are the controllers? Who are the ones that are stopping this? Or not stopping, but trying to stop and blocking this as much as they can? Who are these people?
Honey, do you want to take that or do you want me to take that?
Oh, gosh. I will try to take it on and maybe Shauna can help. But I will just say Daniel, you know, we were talking about they have different roles.
Yes.
Well, one of Daniel's roles is that he kind of gets him, and he's not the only one. Others get their hands dirty and working with the darkness. Okay. That could be the cabal. That could be what we call dark aliens, you know, anything and humans, because they're not always non-human that are trying to stop the evolution of humanity, trying to keep humanity asleep by any means necessary.
Are they feeding off that energy? Is that why they're doing it? Because it's futile. Anyone reading the energy, reading the path of humanity knows that it's a futile effort, but there's something there. Do they feel like they've already sold their soul and they're kind of screwed anyway, so they're trying to get as much as they can before they're out?
Well, they know they already lost and they're trying to throw the kitchen sink at us. And there is an energy giger meter that they are able to sense the frequency of the collective. So they know when we're down and they know when we're up.
Interesting.
Does that make sense, everyone? They do know. I know this sounds unbelievable, but Daniel's taught me this. And you know that saying that truth is stranger than fiction? You know,
of course, that's our stock and trade here.
It sure is. There, you know, it's all an effort to just keep people asleep. Okay, so we cannot allow that to happen. We've got to, you know, one of the first lessons I learned from Daniel too was I must love all, not just people I like, the pretty people. No, all, even the evil, wicked. You must love all as much as you love me and more.
Right.
All need healing.
Yes.
And love.
That love is powerful. Healing. And you just got to remember, though, it's like we love those people, but we just wouldn't make the choices that they made.
Right.
Those choices. But at some point in that being's life, it was that little Christ consciousness baby That if you would have saw that baby, you would have said, oh my God, what a cute baby, little baby. And maybe that baby turned into, God only knows, a horrible human. But at in that time, in that space, it was that. And that, you have to love that. You have to love that little baby.
Daniel calls that the innocence. He says, all humans are innocent at their core. We must respect that. Anything else must be healed.
Yes. Yes. And you talked about in the book how important it is to preserve innocence, to give power back to innocence. If you look at mainstream society, it's stripping away innocence. It's sexualizing everything. It's commodifying everything. But we need to re-empower innocence. In humanity's history, there were times where innocence was revered, where we saw the specialness and the divinity within innocence. And we've lost that, but you're saying we need to get that back.
Right. And Daniel mentions that in speaking about Lemuria, that's one of the topics he wanted to talk about in the book. And I asked him why, because I've never been interested in Lemuria. Never, ever, ever. And so that shocked me when Daniel wanted to talk about it. And I asked him why. He said, because Lemuria was the most innocent humanity has ever been. And we need to get back to that consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so that's the medicine that the Autistic Collective is injecting right now for us. Mm-hmm. You know, so we, yeah. So interesting stuff.
So I will say, though, that energy does, in order to do that, in order to bring in that energy, it requires forgiveness, because there's a lot of things that have happened on this planet all over the country. No one is innocent. Throughout history, every culture, every country, someone somewhere did something that high frequency beings would consider abhorrent. So as one human family, there has to be some level of forgiveness in order for this new earth to manifest. Because we can't just hold energy. We can't just say, oh, we're at the new earth, but it all has to go away. It all has to go away. How do we do that? Because I'm still working on that. How do we get there?
How do we forgive?
Yes, collectively. How do we forgive everyone in order to get to that place? Because that's what's going to have to happen. There has to be literally all conflicted peoples around the world. There would have to be a release of that energy. Now, I know we talked about earlier how there would be a split perhaps and things like that, but even in that split, there is that forgiveness. How do we get there?
I think it's baby steps, right? I mean, forgiveness for me was my one of my biggest teachers. I know that. And I think if you get to that place, I can forgive. Okay. Now, if somebody hurts someone that's really close to me, that's where I'm going to have to do some real soul searching. It's easy for me to say, hey, I've learned my lesson. I know the power of forgiveness. And I can say that, and I have. But like I said, when somebody messes with people that I love, it's a whole new lesson for me.
Right.
Shauna, do you have anything to add on forgiveness?
Yeah. One of the first things also in the baby step is to forgive yourself. And, you know, we assume it's all about forgiving others, but it's about you saying, I forgive myself, and then I forgive you, or please forgive me, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. But we have to constantly say, I forgive myself, because how many times through the day do we go, oh, geez, you know, you go, ah, Lord, or, you know, we're driving and somebody cuts us off, right? you know, we just do. It's our nature. So one, we must first open our hearts and forgive ourselves. Then second of all, you find that innocence in the other person. And you said it so well, is when we can learn to not meet hate with hate or anger with anger, but with compassion, that is a good second step in the baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a fundamental component, though. No matter how many steps it takes, we're going to have to get there. There has to be a point where we remember that we are truly one human family. It may take interacting with beings from other planets for us to realize that everything that was human is human, and we are the humans, and that's who we are in this incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet, but that seems like a fundamental component when we realize that truly we are just like one variation of the plethora of life throughout the universe. We just happen to be conscious and evolved. That's really where it stops, because I don't ever, in all of my studies, I've never read a single holy book, true holy book, a love-based holy book that ever describes humans by race or skin color. Every holy book describes humans as regional, like where they're from regionally, or their religion, which is really interesting. So all of that is a human construct. And at some point we'll awaken to that and remember, my God, we were always this one beautiful family. Isn't mm-hmm. that amazing? We were the humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me more about Siren, because we talked a lot about Daniel, but I'd like to know just a little bit more about Siren, the 16th Dimensional Collective. Shauna, when did you first come into contact with Siren?
I've been channeling for a couple of years, and it was very interesting because I was sitting on the bed, and all of a sudden I was going through some notes and I'd been working on. Connie had transcribed them, and so I'd gone back through them, and I was looking at it, and all of a sudden I heard this voice that said, you know, I'm here to work with you. And I was thinking, well, is this Mother Mary? And then I got, this is Siren. And I went, like, Sirius, the star group, and Sirius? And it was this really bold voice. No, C-E-R-I-A-N. So I was like, oh, okay. So at that point in time, Siren chose to step in and make themselves known. And they said, we're a collective, 16th dimensional collective, one voice. And we're here to work with you. And so that would probably have been about the beginning of Destination New Earth, I'm thinking.
So 2020, 2019, somewhere around there.
It was, yeah. I think it was the Unsuspected Heroes, because it's in the Unsuspected Heroes, I Am Siren.
Right, which is the fictional version of some of the things. I remember you told me you had to, or at least you felt like at the time, you had to put it in a fictional context for people to grasp these concepts. Right. Things have changed, though. Things have definitely changed in that respect.
They have.
Well, what was very interesting is that through the work with Connie and Alex, I have done a whole lot more channeling. I have fortunately had these guides with me my whole life. I just assumed everybody did. To only find out that, no, that wasn't true. So I think we all do have them. It's just we may not listen to them as often.
Yes, and I think that your interactions with Siren is just like an indicator of what's coming. There's a lot of new information. There's new channels. There's so much help happening right now. Literally, the amount of energy and people that are helping us is just like astronomical. Why are humans so important, do you feel like? Why are we worthy of all of this help and attention? Is it because of our collective divine blueprint, or is it more?
I think it's the experiment.
Go ahead.
It's an experiment. I mean, humans are an expression of source consciousness. And we've come to this planet and we forgot who we are. And that is part of the plan. And, you know, so the experiment was to see, well, okay, if they forget and then they remember, will they choose to stay in physicality, which was the objective all along, or will they choose to go to the 5D? I mean, that's a simple perspective. But humanity is an expression of source consciousness.
So, I mean, everything is. So if you think about all the life in the universe, but is there just something, in your opinion, or based on what you've received from Daniel and Sirion, and maybe even Mother Mary, is there just something else, though? Because, I mean, we can't be that cool. I know we're cool, but there's a lot of life out there.
So we're the little brothers and sisters that are waking up. And I think the other universes, galaxies, the galactic councils, they're cheering us on because we're the ones that chose to go the deepest into the veil or the amnesia.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And so imagine, and we chose to play the game and truly forget. So you've got a whole stadium filled of all sorts of different beings and galaxies watching and going, come on, come on, you can do it. Because we did choose to say over eons and eons of time, we'll come back in over and over and over and over, drop us so from being an enlightened state down into a very dense state. Don't let us remember that we were here. And then let's see, can we turn around from our physicality and dense state and come right back, if you will, into the vibrational frequency of our brotherhood and sisterhood without interference? Can we do it on our own? And so we are a grand experiment. And the grand experiment is we're awakening. We're not ascending. We are awakening. And we will continue to awaken, I believe, because we're having this discussion with you tonight.
And oh, absolutely.
It's brilliant. And yeah. You know, this is why. It's because people like you willing to have conversations with us. It's because Alex chose to write the book and said, let's get out the truth. Well, the truth is the truth for right now. We do know that things are constantly changing. And I wouldn't be surprised if something more comes up and we go, oh, didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, it's never ending.
To be alive.
Yes, yeah. It's never ending. Correct. As we evolve, we'll hit new levels of development each time. It's farther and it's more dense than we can even possibly imagine. And even in our farthest moments, when we stretch out, maybe we get fragments of it. But even then, when we get there, it's just, it's beyond where we're at, because it includes so much interdimensional information, not just 3D, 4D, 5D, and even higher dimensions. All of that information is coalescing into what this new Earth is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that you said something really, that's really powerful, Jake. And it has to do with the fact that, you know, just this conversation tonight is essentially what we're talking about is going to, it raises the frequency of the planet. By us coming together and just talking about this stuff, it raises the frequency of the planet. And I just love what Daniel had said. I added it to the back of the book. Actually, it was the last paragraph of the book. And he says that these dialogues that we have raise the vibration of the planet. Can I encourage you to find, and then I ask, I want people to find their tribe and continue these conversations. Get together, you know, sit around the fire pit, sit around, you know, with your hot cocoa or your glass of wine and talk about these things, because that is what raises the frequency of the planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the information that's coming in.
This conversation tonight is raising the consciousness.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Because we're so interconnected and it's affecting us. It's adding to that pool of consciousness. It's adding to the hologram. We're putting in our own code. We're writing the code and we're putting it in, and it's changing again, just by us having this conversation. And I recently traveled to 7 cities on the West Coast, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, a lot of different places. And I was really taken aback by the scale of humanity. You forget sometimes how many humans are on this planet. There's billions.
Billions.
Each one of them is their own universe, let alone their own planet, but really their own universe. And yet somehow four beautiful light workers come together on this episode and we're able to affect that. We're able to affect billions and billions of people because of that microcosmic, macrocosmic connection.
Mm-hmm. And every person that listens to this and walks away with, oh, wow, that was kind of interesting. I've never heard that. I'll have to ask somebody about that. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a god in the game?
Right, exactly. A manifester making things happen in real time. Is that something that we can do now? Now, you talked just a second ago about connecting with community, but what else can people do right now, today, to get in the new Earth frequency, to dial into that energy so we can help co-create that?
Okay, Shauna, I know you want to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, whoa. And I know Connie, too. Go, Connie, go.
First, before Shauna could be the, the cherry on the ice cream sundae.
Okay.
Oh, you're so sweet.
First of all, I want to say something Dion told me because I feel it's very important. He said, don't underestimate yourselves. You must trust that the work, the inner work that you do, that's very important. The inner work you do will impact humanity. Okay, that's one. Next, what humanity needs to do is, my opinion, I know we hear about love all the time, okay? Be more loving, kind. Send out healing energy to all. Mm-hmm. Be discerning. Be open, okay? A lot of times we are very closed-minded. Don't get caught up in the divisiveness that is out there. Who's black? Who's white? Who's Republican? The Democrat? The gay? Straight? Who cares? Don't get involved in that. That's none of your business. What your business is what's going on inside of you. Work on you. Mm-hmm. You. Okay. So that's all I have to say about that, Jenna.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Shauna.
Oh, I was going to say, Miss Connie, what you're saying is stay inside your hula hoop.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Stay inside your hula hoop. You know, yeah. And I while you're staying inside your hula hoop, watch what you're thinking, who you're associating with, what you're watching on television or the news, or don't watch television or the news. because it's fear-mongering. So make certain that you really slow down to make certain that you're not stepping into fear, that you're choosing to love yourself and your family and your friends. And I mean, by just truly look them in the eye. Don't be afraid to say, I love you. Don't be afraid to give hugs. Don't be afraid to go into your community and smile and look at people and say, hi, hope you have a great day. How are you? You know, it is really important that you take time to go inward. And Connie hit on this. Go in to calm yourself and find peace in yourself so that when you're going to work, when you're interacting with family and friends, that you can be present. Because most of us are so frazzled right now, we're thinking, we're having dinner, we're watching television, we're trying to get the kids to bed, we're talking about, oh, we got to get this and that. Slow down. Be present. Go out in nature. Put your rump down on the earth for 5 minutes and breathe. Put your back against a tree. Take your shoes off and put your feet in the grass if you can do that. But nature has its own breath and its own frequency and vibration. And it will calm you even for 2 minutes if that's all you've got. Do it. Be by yourself. Bring your energy down. Go into the state of your divine blueprint, which is pure and perfect. and know that you are pure and perfect. You're whole. You're complete. Go into the world recognizing and shining your light. I am love. And I love you.
That was beautiful, Shauna. Sure. Incredible advice. I mean, this is information that's coming from her, but of course she's influenced by Sirian and Mother Mary, and we're all being influenced by Daniel, who's in this conversation. And the book that you wrote, God's in the Game, which contains information from both Sirian and Daniel, does Daniel still continue to give you messages? Are you still in a dialogue with Daniel in such a way that there's going to be more material as things progress for another book?
Oh, well, I'm not sure about me. I do know that Daniel is writing a lot because Connie is writing a lot. And she is sharing a lot with me that will be is available on the website, and he's got blogs that are coming up about the awakening and the shift and the fact that the 3D game is coming to an end. So that will be coming out probably in the next month or so. I don't, yeah, is that right, Connie? And yeah, so I'm not sure about another book.
But there's more information. You're saying there's going to be blog postings, updated messages from Daniel that happen on your website.
Right. So Daniel blogs, and he blogs on my website, and it's called Daniel's Corner. And these are blogs that are written by Daniel. And then Connie adds her thoughts to them. So you can find that information on my website. You know, I'm not sure about another book. And I know that Shauna's thinking of writing a book. And I wouldn't be surprised if Connie writes a book with Daniel. That would be my gut. I'm hoping to work on another project soon, that something that has been trying to come out for many, many years. But I'm also, if the autist want another book, I'm there. If they need something from me, I support them wherever, you know, whatever they need.
Right, exactly. But is there a way to ask Daniel questions specifically? Is there a way for people to submit questions that maybe could be answered on that blog or in a video?
Well, I would say that if anybody comes to the website and reads one of Daniel's blogs and they have questions, there is an area to post a comment. And I will make sure I give it to Connie. And just have patience. And I know that Daniel is working with readers of the book. So if people are reading the book, and if they have questions about the materials in the book, and correct me if I'm wrong, Connie, Daniel will be working with the readers in the book. Because, you know, people can read a book and be so closed-minded that humanity, they might not recognize that these autists really are this powerful. And for those closed-minded, the autists will not work with them. But if somebody goes to that place and recognizes their truth, Daniel will be working with the reader. You might not know it, but Daniel may be working with the reader.
Right. Maybe connecting with you ethereally in that dimension.
Mm-hmm. We've had some readers have had that experience.
You know, that's very interesting. There were a couple times, I'm going to be completely honest here. There were a couple times when I was reading the book that I was like, you know, you kind of feel something like, is that a presence? Or like, is it, you know, you're like, oh, I wonder if it's I actually had that thought. I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's Daniel reaching out in the ether. I just kind of had that random thought as I was reading the book. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
Yes, he's actually asked me for more energetic support and helping him because with this particular book, he is going out to reach more people with it.
Yes.
And whoever's open to him, he is going to be connecting with him. Thank you, Daniel. I don't know if you hear him.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it. He made a presence on the show. I feel so honored right now. Bless you, my brother. I'm sending him love energy right now. Daniel, please feel this love energy. I love you. Thank you for doing the work.
I love that.
Oh, wow. Well, we've covered a lot of ground and we've touched on a lot of the subjects that are in this incredible book, Gods in the Game. There's so much more. There's whole sections that breaks down what divinity is and how we process the divine experience as humans. There's New Earth information. There's autistic information. If you have an autistic child and this information is new to you, get this book. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to help you understand things about your family member that maybe you didn't realize before. This could really help you. It's available everywhere that you can get books. Gods in the Game. And the website, Alex Marcoux. I'm going to spell this for you. AlexMarcoux.com. AlexMarcoux.com. You can find everything there, including the blog posts and everything that's going to be updated. And ladies, my goodness, my goddesses, thank you for being here and representing the divine feminine on this show and giving us so much time and energy and love. Is there any other messages or anything else you would like to leave our audience with? We're going to have you guys back. We need to have you guys back, but just for now, is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, I would like to just say that, you know, everyone's awakening matters. We're talking about what people can do right now. Your awakening matters more than you realize. And just realize that when you awaken, you're impacting not only yourself, those around you, perhaps soul, your other expressions of your soul, but you affect all of humanity. So yes, what you can do is absolutely do the work.
Yes.
And thank you. I thank you for it.
Yes. We thank everyone for doing the work because it has that ripple effect. Ladies, Connie, Shauna, anything else?
Remember that you're all gods and goddesses.
Yes. Yes.
Please get out there and play and have fun and know you are loved and honored.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Connie, did you want to say something?
Oh, well, thanks for having us on the show. And I just want to tell the audience, you are loved beyond measure. Mm-hmm. It's on and popping on the planet, y'all. We got this, humanity.
Yes.
We got this.
We have it. Yes, we have it. We have Earth. We just have to go through the process. But the light is so bright at the end of that tunnel. It's blinding. We just need to get there. When we're going there, it's unstoppable. So, thank you again, ladies, for being here. It's been absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you. Thanks, Jake.
Please hold through the outro music. I just want to talk to you three a little bit more. And everyone, my goodness. Oh, my God. Look, this is a dense episode. I realize we covered a lot. I realize we just went all the way to the top with some of these topics. But you know what? Just do your research. If you don't know what we're talking about, take a deep dive. Go figure it out. Go back to the previous episode Alex was on. Check that out. And you'll learn more. Get the book, Gods in the Game, AlexMarcoux.com. And we will see you next week, midnight on Earth.